Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Larry. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. God has given me the great privilege to be a youth pastor and also to serve in the media and internet ministry through my local church. I'm thankful for the excellent training I received at West Coast Baptist College.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry. Choosing a college is a really big decision. If you're seeking God's perfect plan for your future, or if you're passionate about serving Him in the ministry, we invite you to find out more about West Coast Baptist College at wcbc.edu. West Coast Baptist College is committed to training laborers for His harvest.
Whatever you're facing that's beyond your control, whatever struggle and trial you're bearing up under, God is interested and He is waiting to give you His power and His presence. Power for life. That's the topic on today's edition of Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapin. Stay with us. Let's face it, life can flat be overwhelming. We all wake up and face circumstances beyond our control and situations beyond our capacity. We turn somewhere for answers, and yet so often we know we're in over our heads. Yet there is a God, a loving Heavenly Father, who longs to give you His power and His presence to make a difference in your life today. He wants to enable you to have the strength you need to live your life for Him today. That's the topic of our series, Power for Life, coming up next with Dr. Paul Chapel. Welcome to this edition of Daily in the Word, the daily radio broadcast of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. You can catch this program every Monday through Friday at this time on this station. If you miss a day or if you live in an area where this program is not broadcast, we encourage you to visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find a way to download today's broadcast as well as other recent broadcasts. You can also subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast via iTunes and take Daily in the Word with you and listen to it on your computer or iPod at your convenience. Perhaps you'd like to refer a friend to dailyintheword.org. I do hope you, when you visit the website, you'll consider making an investment into this ministry. You'll find a donate tab when you get to dailyintheword.org. Your gift to this ministry will help us continue teaching and preaching the Word of God. Well, if you've ever felt a need to live beyond your capacity, today's message will help you. The power to fill. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21 will help us see today that when we're filled by the Holy Spirit of God, we're just a different creature altogether. Here's Paul Chapel.
Well, none of us in this room this morning like to be out of control of our everyday circumstances. And to some extent, all of us are control freaks when you consider that we like to know what's going on with our finances. We like to know what's going on with our families. We try to stay in keeping things in order. We like things to run well. We don't like insecurities. We like the security of knowing what's going on. Perhaps some of you heard on the news the last few weeks about the Toyota cars that suddenly the gas pedals stuck down and the brakes didn't work, and drivers were literally being taken in some cases to their deaths because of the malfunctioning of these particular cars. And what a horrific thought to be out of control of the car that you're driving. How many of you would say, I like to be in control of the car that I'm driving? I appreciate that. I like brakes that work and steering wheels that function, and we all appreciate that. And it's a horrific thought that something would get out of control like that. I read an article this past week that was interesting to me about the fact that there are now young men and computer scientists who can hook up a laptop to your computerization on your car, and with just a few moments' time, they can reprogram your car so that the computer in the car will do basically what these computer programmers tell it to do. For example, they can tell the car to turn on a blinker or to honk the horn while you're going down the freeway. They can program the car to honk the horn, turn on all the lights. They can even program the car to just stop running at a particular moment while you're driving. Now, if you have teenagers who've learned that particular program and they can hook it up to your car, keep them away from your car, because that could be catastrophic as well. But it seems like about the time we get something in control in our lives, there's the concern that maybe it won't stay that way for a long period of time. And so our human nature is to try to hold things close to the vest, keep things running the way we want them to run. Don't let anybody get too close. Don't let anybody mess around with our stuff, because we like things relatively in control. Well, this morning what I'm going to talk to you about is so against our human nature, it is so unlike us to do what I'm going to talk to you about, that if you don't come into this saying, "Lord, I want to know your will today," you could miss, by way of your nature, one of the greatest truths that we really need to understand in the Christian life. Because what I'm going to speak to you about this morning is the fact that there is one, and he is one person of the Godhead, and his name is the Holy Spirit of God. And he wants to have control of our lives. He wants to so fill us with himself that he would literally direct the pathway of our life and the way that we live each and every day. Now again, we don't like to be out of control, but I promise you that if you'll listen to the message today, you would be so much happier with the result of having God in control of your life as opposed to you yourself micromanaging every single aspect of your life. And so let's dig into the scriptures today and let's find out what power for living is really all about. What is it really like to be controlled by God in our everyday lives? How would it affect your family? How would it affect you at work even tomorrow? And so let's learn about it today. And I want you husbands and wives especially to listen up. Don't elbow each other, but just let the Lord speak to you. And how many of you are willing to let the Lord elbow you a little bit if you need it this morning? All right, let's get started. Notice, if you would, this morning, the walk of a Spirit-filled man. God has power to fill you, and when he does, there's going to be a difference in the way you walk and live each and every day. Now, notice this as we begin in verse 15 of our text. The Bible says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Many times, the Bible describes the Christian life as a walk or as a journey. For example, in Galatians 5:16, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And so God speaks about the Christian life as a walk or as a journey. And God's desire is that each and every one of us would have a walk that is reflective of his presence within us, that is showing forth the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, when God is working in your life and filling you, there will be a different kind of walk that is evidenced. You'll be able to notice. And I'm not talking about whether you swagger or limp or walk fast or slow. We're talking about the way that we live, all right? And so what would be the characteristics of this walk of a spiritual man? Notice three thoughts. First, it will be a balanced walk. It will be a balanced walk. Now, it doesn't matter how you walk, fast or slow. If you do not keep your balance, you're going to fall. And God speaks to us about having a balanced walk. Again in verse 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." If you're taking notes this morning, the word circumspectly simply means not giving occasion to stumbling. Let's say that together. Not giving occasion. I don't know about you. I don't like to stumble. I don't like to fall. I try to keep my balance as best I can. And God says spiritually we're to walk circumspectly. Don't give occasion to stumbling. That means, for example, if you've had a challenge in your past with alcohol or drugs, you do not want to get around an environment. You don't want to go with your old pals when they invite you to the party or over to the watering hole that has more emphasis on martinis than hamburgers. You don't want to get anywhere that could pull you back into that old lifestyle that hurt your life and perhaps your children. You don't want to put yourself into the position of stumbling. You want to walk with circumspectness in mind. You determine that in your life, God has a direction for your life that is pleasing to him, and you're going to do all that you can to keep that course. Now, I know some people that are like a preacher friend of mine, and some time ago he said, you know, he said, I'm going to go on a diet and I'm going to lose a lot of weight. And so on his way to the office one day, he began to pray. Now, Lord, if you don't want me to go to the donut shop this morning, then I'm going to pray that there would be no parking spots out in front of the donut shop. Well, a little later on that day, some of his friends saw him with some donuts, eating some donuts and so forth. And they asked him about it. He said, well, I ate the donuts because there were two open parking spots in front of the donut shop after I passed by the eighth time. Now, I've tried to counsel some dear Christian friends about strongholds in their life, and boy, they're praying that it won't happen while they're driving around the eighth time. And there comes a place when we have to walk circumspectly. We have to avoid those places that are going to cause us to stumble, those relationships that are going to cause us to stumble. And so the balanced walk speaks about avoiding those pitfalls. It also says in verse number 15, not as fools, but as wise. And then it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Balancing your walk is not only staying away from something that could trip you up, but it also is a matter of redeeming your time. If you're taking notes this morning, the word redeeming can mean to liberate or to free up. God says if you're going to be a spiritual man, you're going to have to liberate some time for Him and for what is best. You know, sometimes we can get into habits and activities that are somewhat time-wasting. Like the fisherman who goes out to fish. I'm not saying fishing is time-wasting, but like the fisherman who throws his line out and all of a sudden there's a ball of line there, and boy, it just takes so long to get that unraveled. Some people wind up spending all their time unraveling line when maybe they'd be better just to cut it off and start again. Sometimes people can get so involved in time wasting and they need to liberate themselves from that, redeeming the time because the days are evil. For example, if you're a father and you're spending 10 or 12 hours a week watching television and 5 to 10 hours a week reading the or 5 to 10 minutes a week reading the Bible to your children, you need to liberate some of that TV time and spend it on your family. If you have a child, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 years old, and you're spending hours and hours on the internet, Googling this and that, surfing this and that, watching this, oh, did you know, hey, look at this on Facebook, look at this, I talked to a friend that I didn't even know since I was like in the seventh grade, how cool is that? Not very cool if you haven't talked to your children. You need to liberate some computer time because the days are evil and your family needs you. You need to spend some time maybe witnessing for Jesus. You see, the spiritual man is balanced in his time. He is balanced in his walk. And this is something the Holy Spirit gives us. He gives us wisdom. With a still small voice, He says, you need to take your wife and spend some time with her and tell her you love her. You need to tell your son what a blessing he is, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And so the spiritual man has a balanced walk. Notice, secondly, the spiritual man has a believing walk. This is a man who believes his life has a specific purpose. Notice, if you would, in verse 17, it says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It seems like sometimes pastors spend the majority of their time with unwise Christians, Christians who've made unwise decisions, Christians who have not lived according to the Spirit. They have lived according to the flesh. Now they're in a mess. What do I do? Well, how many of you like preventive medicine? Amen. God says, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, we have hundreds of young people on this campus every day. We have high school young people, college young people, and if they're wise, and many of them are, they seek counsel about the Lord's will for their life. They'll talk to their parents, they'll talk to teachers, and they'll sometimes write me a note or an email, Pastor, we're thinking about this or that. And you know, the truth is, we cannot tell every individual specifically every answer. For example, I can't say it is God's will for you to be a nuclear engineer. It is God's will for you to be a preacher. I cannot say that. But there are some things that I can with confidence tell them, this is the will of God for your life. For example, I believe it's God's will that everybody gets saved. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But let me tell you about the belief of a Christian concerning God's will for his life. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in your notes. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now I'm going to tell you God's will for your life, friend, if you're a spiritual man, a spiritual woman, is that you would believe his will is that you would be sanctified or set apart in the way you live your life. It is God's will, and we must believe his will, that we would live sanctified lives, different, separate lives in this world in which we live. And so a spiritual man has a balanced walk. He's not falling over. Spiritual man has a believing walk. My life has a purpose, and the purpose of my life is to live for Jesus Christ, a set-apart life. Then notice thirdly, this man in his spiritual walk has a behaving walk. His behavior is honoring to the Lord. Now let's pick this up in verse 18, if you would please. It says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now we're going to see here that the spiritual man has not only a balanced walk, not only believing that he is to live a sanctified life, but he is a behaving Christian with a behavior that is very distinct. And we see that in the words here, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This man's life is characterized by a walk of integrity. It is characterized in this verse by the absence of alcoholism, the absence of drunkenness. Be not drunk. Obviously meaning here to become intoxicated. The verb is in the present tense, and this is what it means. It is God's will for us to live in a continual state of soberness. Be not drunk with wine. Now, may I suggest to you this morning, the best way to live in sobriety is to never take the first drink. And may we come to an understanding that, listen carefully now, you cannot be filled or controlled by God if you are being controlled by something else or someone else. It may be anger in some cases. I have talked to many police officers in our church who have said to me, "Pastor, the man was so angry when he hit his wife. The man was so angry when he got into the fight that he was under the control of that anger." I have talked to many police officers who've said he was under the control of PCP or some other narcotic, and he just didn't even really know what he was doing. He was under the influence of something else. Well, God says don't be under the negative influence of alcohol, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I agree with Vance Havner, the evangelist of yesteryear, who said concerning alcohol, "I'm tired of hearing sin called sickness and alcoholism a disease. It's the only disease I know of that we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars a year to spread." You know, no one says, "Here, have a bottle of my disease. Want some more disease? Have some more disease." It is not a disease, it is a choice. And all of us have the power of choice. But there are certain choices when we make them that have power over us. And what this boils down to this morning is, what will I allow to control me? Will I allow substance? Will I allow anger? Or will I allow God to have control of my life? Proverbs speaks of this matter of alcohol. Proverbs 23:29. "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions?" You could put in modern vernacular, "Who has the police at their house every Friday night? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go down to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, and when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thine heart shall utter perverse things." So many men that we've had to counsel and help and get out of jail who think they're so funny when they're drinking, who think they're just, you know, every woman's dream when they're drinking. You know what you are? You're everyone's nightmare when you're drinking. And the fact of the matter is this morning that God says that a spiritual man is going to have a balanced walk. He's going to have a believing walk, that his life's supposed to be different, and a behaving walk. He's not going to be under the influences of this world's concoctions. That's not his desire. His behavior is going to be different. And I'm speaking to some men this morning who say, "Well, Pastor Chappell, don't you know it's 2010? Don't you know this is the Word of God? It's not bound by time or ages." I want you to understand, some of you men this morning, you have a dear wife that brought you to the house of God perhaps, a friend that invited you to the house of God. I'm just simply saying to you this morning on the authority of Scripture, God wants your life to be different. This isn't 45 minutes in church and 7 days a week living like a hellion. God says if you want to be a spiritual Christian, it's not just a Sunday morning thing, but it's a life that He wants to change, you see. It's a whole different walk. It's a way to live differently. Now let's notice, secondly, not only the walk of this spiritual man, but notice, secondly, the will of a Spirit-filled man. You say, well, sometimes my life isn't that different from my unsaved friends. All right, what's the problem here? Well, let's go back to Ephesians 5:18, and let's see the design of the Christian life. It says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. All right, let's say that phrase together. Ready, begin. But be filled with the Spirit. All right. Now, all of us who are saved have received the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. All of us who are saved, watch this, husbands, possess the Holy Spirit. The question is, does He possess all of you? It's one thing to possess the Holy Spirit. It's another thing to be possessed of the Holy Spirit. And so we see this morning that God is speaking to us concerning the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And like alcohol controls the drunk, in a positive way, God's Spirit wants to control us in the way that we live. And so our will must, first of all, be a surrendered will. We must surrender our will to Him. It says in verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit. The word but is a contrasting conjunction which speaks to the matter of choice. And it tells us that we must choose to make this filling possible. We, by having anger and sin in our life, can repel the Holy Spirit. Or by confessing and forsaking sin, we can invite the Holy Spirit. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Romans 6 and verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the daily radio ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. Pastor Chappell is presently teaching a very encouraging and equipping series entitled Power for Life. You can receive this entire series on an MP3 CD, or you can download it when you visit our website at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. When you get to the website, you'll find a lot of resources that will help you in your walk with Christ and your spiritual growth. You'll find a complimentary daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. You'll find links to listen to recent broadcasts or to subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast. You'll find links to other resources, books, Sunday school curriculum, and other resources for local church ministry through our publications ministry, Striving Together Publications. There's a lot more to see at the website when you visit dailyintheword.org. I do hope that you'll prayerfully consider clicking on the Donate tab. When you click on that Donate tab, you'll have the opportunity to invest with us and to partner with us in the communication of the Word of God and the Gospel of Christ on more than 400 radio stations at home and around the world where people are hearing and responding to the Gospel of Christ. Your investment, even on the monthly basis, will go directly into airtime, and I hope you'll consider becoming a partner with us in the ministry of Daily in the Word. This month, we have a gift for you when you give us a gift of any amount. And you, when you decide to partner with us, we want to say thank you. Our way of saying thank you this month is Dr. Chappell's brand new book, 200-page paperback book on the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit. The book is entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity, Understanding the Spirit-Filled Life. If you're enjoying the content of this series, Power for Life, you will thoroughly enjoy Living Beyond Your Capacity. Whether you've been a Christian only a week or whether you've been a Christian for 50 years, this book is really about how the Christian life is meant to be lived. Living Beyond Your Capacity, it's a great read. You're going to want to give it to a friend or someone that you love, and we'll send it to you this month when you decide to give a gift of any amount to the ministry of Daily in the Word. One of the easiest ways to do that is to visit dailyintheword.org. If you prefer, you could give us a call toll-free. The number, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. When you call that number, we look forward to speaking with you, meeting your needs, and partnering with you in the ministry of the gospel and getting you Pastor Chappell's book, Living Beyond Your Capacity. If you'd like to write to us, you can send a letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. As we wrap up today's edition of Daily in the Word, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with a word of personal greeting.
We look forward to meeting many new friends and getting to know you better on the 2011 Alaska Cruise. You'll enjoy the beauty of God's creation and, of course, the teaching of God's Word that we'll present on the cruise. I trust that you'll visit dailyintheword.org and prayerfully consider making next year's vacation a time with new Christian friends on the 2011 Alaska Cruise.
Well, thank you, Pastor. And friend, thank you for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Once again, give us a call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. And don't forget, we are heading to Alaska in August of 2011. We would love for you to be a part of this life-changing and memorable adventure to Alaska with Christian friends. Join us for the Alaska Cruise and find out more information about it at dailyinthword.org. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.